Bible, Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to be looking at verses 13 and 14 here for just a minute or two after our song in a little bit. Larry just told me that he heard from George. This thing sounds really overwhelming, Brother Greg. He heard from George, and his mother-in-law will be released tomorrow morning. And so evidently the surgery was on her hip. It's a severe amount of pain and a lot of shattering and so forth, so it sounds like she's going to be all right. And I appreciate you, Larry, bringing us up to date about that. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book here. Would you please join me on verse 14 as we read together a couple of verses out of Hebrews chapter 9, okay? Our Bible says this, for if the blood of bulls and of goats, this is right, 13 and 14, that's it, for a minute I got confused. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we have together around your table tonight. And Lord, we won't even touch the hem of the garment as to all that this means to us as your people. But we do want to remember Jesus for a little while tonight. And I pray that you'll help us to think on him. I pray the Holy Spirit will come and make that all possible. I remember what Jesus said in the New Testament. He said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will speak of me. And so, Spirit of God, would you please lift up the Son of God tonight to the people of God. May our hearts be helped. We'll thank you for it. And in Jesus' name we ask it for his sake. And amen. Thank you. you. Amen. That was wonderful. I enjoyed it. Bless my heart. Bless my soul. That's good singing tonight. Such a good, good song. Thank you. It fits so well with our service tonight for the Lord's Supper. And thank you for being sensitive to that and singing the song that fits in just perfect as we try to draw around this table for a few minutes as a church family to remember what Jesus did for us. Verse 14 of Hebrews 9, the writer asked the question, how much more? And then he goes on to say several things about the blood of Christ. How much more? We'll talk about that as we get to the end here. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus who gave His life for ours. And oh, as they sang that song and all the words of that song, talked about what He went through and what He gave up and what we gained at Calvary. Thank you for the sacrifice of your Son. And as we draw around this table for a few minutes tonight, I pray that it will be dearer to us and more closer to our hearts as we think on the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, God, for your word and all that it teaches us. This is such a small, small portion of what your book has to say about the precious blood of your Son, Jesus. So help me tonight. Gather the church around. Let's all be clued in. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to get something tonight that'll bless us and help us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our purpose for observing the Lord's Supper is really very simple. Paul made it very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What Jesus taught him about it. And then Jesus himself, in Luke 22 and verse 19, the Bible says this, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. That's it. That's really the whole purpose of this table. That's the whole purpose of this ordinance. That's why we observe it four times a year. This do in remembrance of me. The Lord's table is for remembering Jesus Christ, for remembering Him, and specifically remembering His sacrificial death and His shed blood. And we look at different aspects from time to time of the Lord's Supper. Tonight, I want to think just for a minute on the subject of His blood and just something very, very small, but not small in effect, but just a small portion of what the Bible says about the blood of Christ. Shedding of blood has long been the price of freedom. Long been. It started back in Exodus chapter 12 when the children of Israel were in bondage and the Lord told them to take a lamb out of their flock and kill that lamb and collect the blood. And take that blood and put it on the lintel and the doorpost. And He said, the Lord will pass through and when He sees the blood upon the lintel, the Lord will pass over. And the Lord will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. So the shed blood freed the oldest child from death. And the shed blood freed the children of Israel from the bondage that they were under in the land of Egypt. Because it was that night that the Egyptians arose and they cast the children of Israel out of Egypt. 430 years in Egypt. One night, through the shed blood, they were delivered. Shed blood has long been the price of freedom. Let's advance now to the day and age in which you and I live. Our grandparents and great-grandparents have lived. Enemy armies come against peaceful nations and at times attempt to overthrow and rule with a dictatorship or some other form of government that puts the people in bondage. And you know what has to be done? Blood has to be shed to protect freedom. I went to one of the military websites and obtained this information. I'm talking about American dead. Now, this is not Wikipedia. This is not somebody that contributed. This is off a military website. The American dead during the War of Independence, 25,000. The American dead during the War of 1812, 20,000. This next one is staggering. The American dead during the Civil War, 623,026. That's unbelievable. The American dead in World War I, 116,708. In World War II, 407,316. In the Korean War, 36,905. 14. In the Vietnam War, 58,169. In the Persian Gulf War, 269. In Afghanistan, as of June the 6th of this year, 1,610. And in Iraq, as of June 6th this year, 4,459. Now, those numbers add up to 1,293,471 American dead. That does not include the smaller wars. Sometimes there are wars where 30 or 60. The Mexican-American War, there was 13,000 who died in that war. So that does not include all the smaller wars with maybe a smaller number of casualty. Might have been a smaller number of casualties, but friend, the cost was still great because it was blood. That's staggering, isn't it? 1,295,000 lives. Now here's what I want to see tonight. It has taken the blood of 1,295,000 lives in America's history to obtain, to maintain, and to protect the freedom of American citizens and some other citizens in other countries around the world. But I want to think for a minute at how much more the blood of Christ has done. You see, the shedding of the blood of one man one time obtained eternal redemption for all mankind. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm thankful for the 1,295,000 who shed their blood so I could be born into and grow up in and live in a free country. I've known nothing but freedom all of my life. 54 years now. Nothing but freedom. I think that's true about most everybody in this room. Not everybody. Nothing but freedom. I've never had to notify the government unless I'm going to fly overseas somewhere. I've never had to notify the government to get... I remember the boyhood memories as a little boy jumping in the 1963 Volkswagen Bug. Back in the original Volkswagen Beetles. You with me? And even though Dad worked for General Motors, he drove that thing to General Motors for 9 years. They finally came and offered him a promotion, but they said on one condition. The Volkswagen has got to go. The Beetle gets squashed. He sold it and got a Buick Skylark. But I can remember as a little boy jumping in that 1963 Volkswagen and going to the Great Smoky Mountains before it was so commercialized. It's beautiful. Still is. But before it was all commercialized. I remember Tim and I in the back seat and Tom in the rumble seat. Remember the old Volkswagen Beetles? The engine was in the back. Had that little rumble seat above the engine. And Tom was small enough, we made him ride in the rumble seat, and Tim and I, and man, that little Volkswagen chugging up those hills, five of us in that thing with our luggage, it overheated. Dad had to stop and get on the side of the road, let the engine cool down for a few minutes, you know. Then we'd take off and go again. It would overheat, and we'd had a time. But we did, you know, I think about the trips that we made with Mom and Dad to Florida almost every summer. Went down to Florida for a few days, and one time all the way down to Miami to visit my grandmother's sister down there, and then one time to Mansfield, Ohio. I think the only time I came north of the Mason-Dixon line as a boy, we went to Mansfield, Ohio to visit my aunt and uncle. And I remember those trips. I remember the trips that I've taken with my kids over the years. Not one time have I ever had to notify the local authorities or anybody else that I was going to go on a trip. Not one time have I ever had to get permission from the government to go on a trip. You know what that's called, folks? That's called freedom. That's called freedom. I think about the communication. I think about schooling. I think about reading. I think about going to church. I think about working and the opportunity to go to and apply for a job and sign on and get paid a wage and go open a bank account and put some money in the bank or put some money in the savings account or buy a CD or open a money market and all the things that we've been privileged and allowed to do. For all of my life, I've known nothing but freedom in this country. And that's because 1,295,000 plus or minus a few shed their blood. That's no small price, is it? I've never known anything but freedom. But the red stripes in that flag back there represent the cost of that freedom. To the tune of 1,295,000 plus lives. I'm sure that's what that red on that flag stands for. You think about the tears that have been shed. Buckets and buckets and buckets of tears. You think about the empty seats at the table. Left empty by men who went off to fight and never came home. You think about the lump in the throat in the mother or the wife when a military vehicle would pull up in front of a house and a man or two would get out dressed in military uniform and make their way down the sidewalk. Think about the lump that was in the throat while they waited to hear the news. Think about the twisted knots in the stomach when they were handed that official notice from the United States military or the Department of Defense that their husband, their son, their brother, their loved one had been killed in action. You think about that. You see, these are all the cost of freedom multiplied by 1,125,000. I'm very thankful tonight for those that gave their lives for me to be free. Very thankful. On the other hand, I have known spiritual bondage. I have known spiritual blindness. I have known spiritual drought. And it took bloodshed to free me and enlighten me and refresh me. But it only took the blood of one to do that. And His name is Jesus. And here's the amazing thing. When that one man shed that blood on the cross of Calvary, His blood also freed Adam. His blood also freed Moses. His blood freed Joseph. His blood freed Samuel. His blood freed Joshua. His blood freed Miriam. His blood freed Jochebed. His blood freed Elijah and Elisha and Jehu and Rahab and Mark and Esther and Paul and John and James and Timothy and Titus and all others down through human history, where it took the blood of 1,295,000 to keep Americans free for 235 years, it has taken the blood of one to make all people free for all human history, if they'll only receive Christ as their Savior. That's quite powerful, isn't it? Now, I think there are three reasons why the blood of Christ that was offered has so much more impact than the blood of 1,295,000 Americans. Look at verse number 14 and give you three simple thoughts, and I will not preach these. I will give these to you and maybe make a comment, and we'll move on. Number one, it was Spirit-led. It was Spirit-led. Look at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself. You understand, friend, that Jesus Christ did not come to this earth and go footloose and fancy-free on His own with no structure, no schedule, kind of like some of these Hollywood things have tried to portray this man with his long old hair floating in the breeze with, you know, just kind of mystically and magically moving through the Palestinian territory, doing all these wonderful things. No, I don't find that about Jesus Christ. I find that Jesus came here and He lived His life under the leadership, the direction, and the fullness of the Spirit of God. There was purpose to His life. He came, He set His face like a flint to Jerusalem. He knew where He was headed. He let nothing stand in His way. And yet everything He did, none of it was in the power or the influence or the leadership of the flesh. Everything was in the power, under the power and the influence and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And that's so important, friend, because the only way any person can be pleasing to God is if we live in and under the leadership and the influence and direction of the Holy Ghost. You understand what the Bible says? That they that live in the flesh cannot please God. So when Jesus came, He came as the God-man and lived 33 and a half years here. And those 3.5 years of public ministry under the influence and direction and leadership of the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus to the cross of Calvary. It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus to lay His hands on that cross. It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus to never answer a word. It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus to pray, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." It was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus Christ through the whole sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross of Calvary. It was Spirit-led. It was Spirit-led. Number two, it was spotless pure. It was spotless pure. Look at what it says there. Who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God. The only one who could have ever gone to the cross and offered that kind of sacrifice was the Son of God, Jesus Christ. No mortal man could do that. All of us have tainted blood. I won't even expound on that thought tonight. Everybody in this room knows that or should know that and has known it for many years. Our blood is tainted. It is spotted. It is sinful. It is wicked. Not His blood. Pure, clean, spotless. And that's exactly what had to happen in order for us to have our sin debt paid. Number one, His offering on the blood, the offering of His blood, it was Spirit-led. Number two, it was spotless pure. Number three, it was single-purposed. Look at the end of the verse. I love this. It says here, "Who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." I like those little words, "from to." From to. You know what that's talking about? That's talking about a change of life. God didn't save us. The blood of Christ didn't save us just so we could have a fire escape from hell. The blood of Christ saved us to deliver us from dead works to serve the living God. A life that was once full of dead works now has living service to a true and living God. And that was the purpose of the surrender, of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I'm simply coming tonight with this one thought for us as we gather around this table. And in a little bit, we're going to pass these trays that have the unleavened bread in there. And the unleavened bread is a picture of the body of Jesus Christ that was offered on the cross as He shed His blood for the remission of sin. And then that cup that we pass is a picture of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when we take that bread and we think about it tonight and we eat it together, we need to be mindful of the price that Jesus Christ paid. And number two, when we take that juice and we drink it tonight, representing the blood of Jesus Christ, we need to be mindful of the fact that it was His shed blood, Spirit-led, spotless pure, and single-purposed, that has created a life change for everybody in this room. For some, the life change has been remarkable. Because that old life is left behind, gone, forever past, and a new life of service to a living God is now the life we enjoy. But it didn't come without great cost. So as we celebrate our nation's independence tomorrow, and we look at the red stripes in that flag, we're reminded that 1,295,000 died so that we could be free. And as we take this bread and juice tonight, we remember the one who died so that we could be free. Let's bow our heads in prayer tonight. Thank you for listening.